Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special first episode of our possible ongoing coverage of Creature Commandos. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, I'm Bob in Cascadia. That's Matt in the Southland. We're Uncanny Treks. We're here to talk about the first two episodes of James Gunn's Creature Commandos. But Matt, how do I know it's James Gunn's Creature Commandos?
Don't worry, Bob. James Gunn lets you know in the opening credits, not just with his name plaster all over the wall, but he also drew himself into the thing. God.
He's in the title credits. There were two surprises. And the first surprise was that male Frankenstein, as opposed to Bride of Frankenstein, but both Bride of Frankenstein and male Frankenstein are in the opening credits. And then James Gunn himself is in the opening credits. And I think we both saw that and cringed, right?
He's taking it too far already, guys. Man's fooling himself. I'm scared for DC.
Yeah, man. I am too. Again, I don't want to be understood as a Zack Snyder partisan because Zack Snyder is worse all ways. He's worse. I hate Zack Snyder. But, oh boy, it starts to make you think that all the rabid Snyder fanboys online might have a point about Gunn.
The longer I stick around, the more these things just become true that I just hear all these people saying for so long. Because, you know, I'm always pretty high on the Gunnverse, Bob. But then I see this and I'm like, just more of the same shit that you were doing with Suicide Squad, Peacemaker. It's fun for a little while. I don't need it all the time, though.
Yeah. I guess since we're talking overall reactions, I would say that I don't hate these two episodes. I didn't find watching them that unpleasant, but it never crossed a threshold for me, really, where I thought this was fun or funny. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. Yes, they're very much, they're mediocre.
They're trying very hard. Yeah. They're trying so hard.
They're very mediocre. I mean, especially the second episode, which is an origin story for Mrs. Frankenstein, whatever her name is, Lady Frankenstein. Is that the right name?
Lady Frankenstein. It should be. It's weird because it's Bride of Frankenstein. That's the name of the movie, and that's traditionally what you would call her. But it's a little weird that they're doing a very, very feminist version of the bride, traditionally be called Frankenstein's creature, but that people who do that are annoying pedants. And obviously the creature is Victor's kid in a sense, right? So it makes sense that the creature would also be named Frankenstein. I mean, the original novel is an allegory about pregnancy, among many other things. And so male Frankenstein, or the person you'd normally call the creature, here he's just portrayed as this crazy Nazi incel stalker. It's very much a feminist version of Bride of Frankenstein, where she's being stalked and harassed, as we learn, you say, in that second episode throughout history by Eric Frankenstein, as he's called here. But it's just weird that since it's such a feminist version, you think she would have a name besides Bride.
This Lady Frankenstein fucks.
Yeah, this Lady Frankenstein does fuck. Don't be under any illusions about that. This is adult animation, and it's, I don't know, man. It's weird.
My cup of tea maybe like 10 years ago. I might have thought this animation was actually interesting years ago. Now I'm just, I don't need this.
This is maybe more a limitation on me. I generally want to say I'm okay with sex in media. It's not something, whatever.
Yeah.
But I do think I'm not really big on sex in animation at all. I think it's gross and weird, to be honest.
Yeah, it's weird here because it's popped up twice and two. It's more than twice, like multiple.
It is weird here, but I also think in general, I'm just to me, I don't like sex and animation because, and this is, I should get past this, but I think of animation as a kid's medium.
Yeah,
and so I don't. Yeah, so that seems weird to me. But then I also agree that even if I could get past my general hangups about animation as a medium, the sex in this is just a little too horny, a little too strange. Like both the bride being so horny, and then you have this princess character who's probably in her 20s or 30s, but it's not super clear, and is going crazy for the old man Flag. That's really strange and not nearly as funny as they think it is, right?
Yeah. And he strangely kind of looks like James Gunn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
I didn't put that together until you said that, but yeah, you're right.
You're welcome for that. And I go back and watch. When you watch the next couple episodes, just keep imagining that he's just living through
the
character. So in a sense, James Gunn is in the opening credits twice, both as Rick Flagg Sr. and as... So listeners, we're going to just have scattered conversations about this, like we did with the Superman cartoon that's run two seasons in 2023 and 2024. Honestly, I don't think it's worth doing like more straight on recaps. And obviously, we're just going to talk spoilers for whatever's in these two episodes. And I think we plan to check in every episode or every two episodes on the show and just talk about what's going on. But I don't think we're going to do very structured, and we may miss some weeks. Does that sound good to you, Matt?
All sounds good to me, Bob. And I plan on watching anything that drops from the Gunverse just because I'm fascinated by it, not because I'm like, I think it's good. So just keep that in mind, Bob. So we will,
we will
be covering everything, even if you don't watch it.
Oh God, you're gonna talk to me about the Superman movie and the Supergirl movie and the Batman Brave and the Bold movie.
I'm going to all these films, Bob, at some point. I will see them. And, you know, we'll talk about it at that time.
A few other things to touch on, Matt, that were implicit in things you've been saying. One, so we've got the Introduce the Mission episode, and then we've got the Origin of Bride of Frankenstein episode, which I get that maybe the show is making a feminist point by having her name only be Bride, but it still just seems weird to do this very feministy story about her and then her name only be Bride. But I'm sure they'll reveal her name in episode 6 or whatever.
It'll be iconic, Bob.
It'll be iconic. Until then, do you get the feeling like I do from the coming this season at the end of the first episode and from what the second episode was, that each episode is just going to be an origin story for a member of the team?
I fear this is exactly what is going to happen, because every single one of those guys has to have some sort of crazy origin story to back up whatever weird stuff got going on, especially Nazi robot guy. You know, he's not self-explanatory. I need to know how he was built.
You can't just take a guy named G.I. Robot who says he hates Nazis at face value. You have to delve deep into the psychology of this character who has almost no psychology, Matt.
Exactly, Bob. I have to know, what is this robot's origin story? I'm being facetious, Bob.
Yeah, of course, of course.
You can't tell. I'm hoping that we don't go this route, but he is. The minute the second episode stops, we're only going to focus on the bride here.
Oh, I see what we're doing.
Next episode, we're going to focus on Aquawoman or whatever her
Nina, the creaturess from the Black Lagoon.
Now see, of all the characters in the story so far, Bob, she's the only one we've yet to see have sex. So.
Oh, yeah. And you know, again, not looking forward to, but it's coming.
It's coming.
And Matt, to stress, by characters, you mean of the women. Although, I guess Cersei, even by that standard, we're going to do an origin story for Cersei, and you know we're going to see Cersei have sex.
Oh, yes.
With this. Okay.
Orny James Gunn. Let's just get a tally going, Bob. This is simple. We'll do this. We'll do this for the listeners. We'll just tally how often, how many times these things occur.
Yeah. Tally the sex and tally the origin stories.
We did this with something else. Didn't we do it with Babylon 5 or something along? Yes, I think it was some type of rating.
Like I think that. There it might have been like cringy JMS dialogue or something.
There you go. Cringe. Speaking of JMS, Bob, Watchmen Part 1, do not watch it.
Oh, no, Matt, there was no danger of that, but it's good that you, and there should be no danger that you will watch it, dear listeners, but it's good that Matt's here to warn you to not watch Watchmen Chapter 1. Yes, don't be like Matt. Matt's a bad example.
Guys, I am doing this for science. I'm a pioneer.
Matt needs Watchmen Chapter 1 to inform the context of the takes that he blesses you every week with, dear listeners. A few other things from this. It is interesting that we start off with them talking about Paradise Island and talking about it as something that people think exists, but they're not sure that it exists. I can't remember the phrase they use, but maybe unconfirmed country or something. Which is actually an interesting idea. Weird fantasy or sci-fi version of the current moment. Oh, what if there were countries that you weren't sure were real type thing? I don't know. That was somewhat interesting. I assume that's retconning the two Wonder Woman movies. I can't really remember how the first one, which is the only one I saw, dealt with Paradise Island. And I assume that's also setting up somehow the Paradise Island TV series that I believe is planned to be a part of the Gunverse.
Oh, yeah. The Paradise Island TV series is about all this Gunverse stuff. And then the only thing that actually counts, Bob, you ready? Or Peacemaker and Suicide Squad. That's it.
It is funny to razz on James Gunn for doing a reboot that reboots everything but the two things he did. I would understand where he's coming from. The Peacemaker, they're still planning to make a season two at some point, I think. Not that I'm looking forward to it. I really didn't like season one. You basically have to have this Suicide Squad movie as set up for Peacemaker. So in that sense, I get it.
Bob, you remember when I was younger, I had like a bucket of action figures. James Gunn is literally the adult version of us, and he has that bucket of action figures. He gets to dump it out and do whatever he wants. Now, Bob, now imagine I had a bucket full of wrestling action figures, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tony Khan.
Is that the AEW guy?
That dude, same thing. They got the ultimate prize. They get to play with our universes, universi, whatever you want to call them. We get to watch.
Well, I did want to ask, beyond all the sex animation, do you like the animation in this show?
In the backgrounds and the backdrops and everything. That's the one thing that stuck out to me. When you first see Bel-Rev, it's the dullest looking thing ever. The stuff from the Timbers had more detail. Think about simplistics. Now the actual characters, now they're fine.
I think I found the character animations, while not super to my taste or my favorite, non-objectionable as far as it goes. But I think the one part it did really start to bother me was in the first episode when you had those long scenes of the SUVs convoying and driving them to the castle.
Mm-hmm.
That just looked so bad. And I'm not an animation guy and I can't give you an explanation of why, but it just looked so bad.
Just lack of detail. That's really what it boiled down to. You just couldn't see. Like, it's just no focus on that.
What also just felt such filler of, hey, draw.
Well, yeah.
I guess they do need to somewhat establish the city maybe for subsequent action scenes in later episodes. But, okay, draw a bunch of bland SUVs moving through a urban landscape. It's not really that great.
You've been so spoiled by Young Justice, Bob.
Honestly, I'm wrong, but the style feels similar to Young Justice, which I think is Korean animation, mostly. But it feels looser and sloppier than even Young Justice, which is saying something.
Yeah, it's saying a lot, considering that this show came out. It was 3 years after last season of Young Justice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think last season with Young Justice was 2021 and 2022.
Yeah. So we're thinking three years different.
Yeah. And don't get it twisted, listeners. We love Young Justice despite its sometimes cheap animation. Yeah. And that's not even a knock on it being a Korean style animation. It's just a knock on like the way they do flashbacks and the way they avoid mouth movements. And Young Justice can sometimes be astonishing.
Animation shortcuts everywhere.
A lot of shortcuts, although honestly, some of them are, I find, like, audaciously clever. But, yeah, we don't get it twisted. We love Young Justice, but at least for me, that's in large part because the story and the characters of Young Justice are so strong, it overrides my concerns about animation.
Although we do hate on some of the character designs from Young Justice, whereas Bob here seems to be okay with the character designs here, which I agree with. In this show, they're not, they're what I expect them to look like. I mean, Dr. Phosphorus looks like Dr. Phosphorus.
I would say on the whole, I think most of the character designs in Young Justice are pretty good, but there are several that are just catastrophically bad.
Joker,
Riddler, and Shade would be the three that come to mind. And Joker and Riddler especially look, as I think we call them, the Janko versions of those characters.
It's terrible. Terrible. I'm always glad we do also see some classic looks to people, because even with the Superman show we've been covering, Some of those designs were, they should have gone in that direction. Those are lame.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I strongly dislike some of the villain designs in the Superman show. I will say, although I agree with you how you're characterizing my position, that the character designs in Creature Commandos are okay, I do think they do sort of lean in that same direction as Young Justice, but nothing's as extremely obnoxious as Joker, Riddler, and Shade were in Young Justice, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the characters have a more, while they have a more realistic design to them that I think Bob doesn't like, they're stylized.
I like Bruce Timm animation. It's trying to be like iconic and often simple, but very stylized. I grew up on the Bruce Timm stuff. That's what I'm always going to prefer. And again, none of this should be confused with, at least on my part, with like in-depth knowledge or appreciation, because I don't have it.
Well, Bob, I will say this. James Gunn is doing this, I think, almost as like just kind of getting his feet wet, trying to figure out if this world he's putting together is actually going to work. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's right. I want to, in a minute, I want to maybe come to a limitation or two of that. I did want to ask just a more pointed question. So since you've correctly identified that Rick Flagg Sr. is James Gunn, does Flagg being a bit of the butt of the joke, I mean, not always, he is still the competent one on the incompetent team, but does him being like the butt of all the jokes, does it like work for you?
Not really. He's like the daddy figure, but then he's also having sex with the princess at the same time. It doesn't fit right. It doesn't feel right. And he's also trying to be a little bit Star-Lord. I knew going That's into true. This, and you called my out on this a long time ago, too, of like, it's just going to be, you know, DC Guardians of the Galaxy. If anything, it's just more Suicide Squad with lesser-known characters. Because really, Suicide Squad is that. It's meant to be lesser-known characters because they're cannon fodder.
I just want to emphasize or underline that point you made about it. It's almost like Rick Flagg Sr.'s sitcom dad. That's exactly what they're going for. And yeah, it is, man, it is remarkable that the first Suicide Squad movie was sort of a failed movie. I think it did okay commercially, but it was critically, it was a bomb. And then Gunn has overseen, we're coming up on 6 direct spinoffs to it. He did the second movie, which granted was separate enough that you can say the first movie is not canon, but the second movie is still canon. He did at least one season of the Peacemaker show, and they're saying a second season at some point. He's doing a Waller show that I think is in the pipeline too, a live action Waller show. This cartoon, which as you say, is just more obscure non-human Suicide Squad or Suicide Squad plus more Guardians of the Galaxy. And then there's also the anime Suicide Squad that came out a year or so ago. And then they're also talking about another live-action Peacemaker spinoff that's not Waller.
I think one that follows the other hero, the
Vigilante. Yeah. I was wondering who in the world could it be? Would it just be one of the staff members? And when he said that, I was like, oh yeah, Vigilante was in the Peacemaker show.
I don't know, Bob. When I look at it all written out like that, oh man, you laid it out pretty straight there. And it's a lot of Suicide Squad obscurity characters that just never in my lifetime, Bob, would have thought in 2024 these are the things we would be talking about from those characters from our childhood that even then, Bob, they were obscure. Come on.
Yes and no. I'd ran 60 issues from the mid-80s to the early 90s, a B-tier title.
Right.
Then I maybe wouldn't go so far as to say obscure. Since then, basically just on the strength of the concept, DC's made it more and more central to the universe to the point where, at least for now, maybe the perception of this will change once more of these TV shows and more of these movies are out. But right now, it feels they're building an entire new cinematic universe just out of Suicide Squad, right?
It really does. I just don't know if that's the direction that they should be going. But they are also going to, Superman being the lead for the film piece, that's going to make or break it. And they even, did you notice the new title, the new logo?
I thought about commenting on it, didn't, but yeah, it's Golden Age Superman busting out of the chains.
Right.
Yeah. I was impressed when I first saw that. I thought that was good. I thought that was good.
Gunn compared it to, he said, that's our MGM lion. It's going to be in front of everything.
Cool. That's cool. Yeah. I guess one other broad picture point I wanted to raise, Matt, do you think this would be a better show if it were episodic rather than ongoing?
When you posed this question in the notes, Bob, I read this last night and I've been thinking about it for a while. And honestly, I do. I think it would be so much better if they just had to get self-contained one thing like Lower Decks does.
Actually dig in on the jokes on one thing.
This is just a lot of quips is all this is.
Yeah, it's a lot of quips. And it is doing that thing that all, and I think I've been complaining about how Marvel streaming content is all just a 2-hour movie that it's broken into 6 episodes or 7 episodes.
Right.
And I realized thinking about this as the start of the universe, oh, the reason they do that is to control the world building. Because if you do, and this is obvious, I should have realized it before, but if you do 8 episodes that are all different plots that all have different characters and settings and villains, that's creating a ton of continuity. And that, you know, then that constrains everything you do in the future. Whereas if you just do one story in 8 parts, that's much more manageable if you're building a universe. Does that make sense?
That does make a lot of sense. And I'm surprised I've never really noticed.
You're correct. I know we're personalizing this a lot about him, but it's almost like he's overworking and he's trying to contain the amount of things he has to do, right? He's like, oh God, I don't have the energy to do 8 original episodes.
You saw his animated at the beginning, Bob, typing away. Come on.
Yeah.
He's got his MacBook out. He's good.
this is probably going to be bad, and I'm not optimistic about the gun verse. I will say, though, dear to Matt, who I think is maybe has more potential for enthusiasm than I do, or for listeners, I do think this might not be a fair representation of the gun verse in the sense that, okay, Gunn's doing this in Superman, but I think a lot of these other movies, he's got directors and writers for Supergirl. I think for a lot of the other movies, and definitely for a lot of these shows, he's just going to be more of an overseer than a direct creative presence, I think. Maybe I'm totally wrong about that. That could not work at all, but it also could work, and it could give him the space to focus and make good things like Superman and maybe the Brave and the Bold movie. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm also curious too, Bob, if he's just going to let the TV universe be more of these obscure characters. And just all the movies are just these real tentpole characters that are going to bring in the big fan, the fans for Superman. You're not going to see Superman and Batman on HBO Max.
That, on the one hand, that makes sense. On the other hand, and granted, his rhetoric could just be rhetoric, right? But he's really stressed the interconnection of everything. And then there's also the fact that a lot of the proposed Max shows, I mean, who knows what we'll actually get, but a lot of the proposed shows like Paradise Island and The Lanterns do revolve around the mythologies of somewhat major Justice Leaguers.
Well, that is true. I mean, you're going to have to see Wonder Woman at some point if you're going to do a series in Scaria. But
maybe you see her like you see the planet Dune in the awful Dune prequel, which is just to say referenced and occasionally in flashbacks.
What you're going to see in the final episode, Bob, is a silhouette of a woman standing in front of the suns on Themyscira. And then all of a sudden, you see this thing in her hand. What is that? It's a lasso. Fades. There it is, Bob, right there. Wonder Woman.
2037. Well, and one other thing that does, that maybe should, if you want to like the Gunverse, that maybe should give you a little bit of hope, is Gunn has said things about he's not putting these out 2 a year like Marvel, or 3 a year, 4 a year. He wants the projects to set their own pace, which that could be, that's maybe an encouraging sign too.
All right, Bob. So just with Creature Commandos, you got any suggestions on anything? If I wanted to read more about Creature Commandos, let's say this, I just love this show, which I don't, but let's just say I did. I wanted to read more. You got any suggestions?
Not really, Matt. I gotta be honest. There are not many Creature Commando comics. I think they were mostly just a backup and a war comic in the 70s.
God.
I've never read a Creature Commandos comic. I'm usually a guy who likes to go back and read. If I am going to see a superhero movie or show and I haven't read the comics for that character, I like to go back and read a chunk before I watch the movie. I did not care to do that with this. I was interested in seeing Gunn do this, but I did not care enough to research the, I think there's maybe a 300-page trade that has every Creature Commando story up to the present.
I'm familiar with Frankenstein's monster, Frankenstein the Bride. I'm familiar with those characters, duh. The only other character I really knew anything about, though, was Weasel, because he was in the other Suicide Squad film. And then Dr. Phosphorus, because he was in the Batman Strange Apparitions.
That's where he debuts. Dr. Phosphorus is going to be a window into them doing some Gotham City stuff in the show, like, I guess, in his origin episode.
Oh, no, not now. You've got me intrigued. Did not think about that.
Yeah, I just noticed that from looking at the voice cast list on Wikipedia. I could be wrong. One set of comics I can recommend, sort of. So this isn't Creature Commandos, but the character of Frankenstein, although never named Eric, but the character of Frankenstein or the creature is a pretty big mainstay of the DC universe. I would say a much bigger mainstay than the Creature Commandos themselves. And I like that version of Frankenstein pretty well. He debuts in, I don't know if you remember Grant Morrison's Seven Soldiers crossover project from, I want to say 2006 or so.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, we should look at it sometime in the future, maybe. But it's good. It's weird, but it's good. It's a series of miniseries about seven very different characters, and one of those characters is Frankenstein, and that's Grant Morrison creates the modern DC version of Frankenstein. It's very good. And then in the New 52, one of the titles coming out of the relaunch in the DC Dark part of the universe was called Frankenstein Agent of Shade, as the name would suggest, supernatural spy stuff starring that Frankenstein character. Originally, that was written by Jeff Lemire. And then I think after about six issues, Matt Kent took it over. I always wanted to like that series more than I actually did. Although it's also possible, maybe it's good and maybe I just need to go back to it and visit it with some distance and I might enjoy it more. But those, if you're interested in a more positive version of Frankenstein than the Nazi incel you see in this second episode, yeah, you'd want to look at Grant Morrison's Frankenstein miniseries and Jeff Lemire and Matt Kent's, I think, maybe 20-issue Frankenstein Agent of Shade ongoing. Does that make sense?
It does, Bob. Now, you don't know anything about G.I. Robot, do you?
So one other thing on Frankenstein. I do want to say I can't really get offended because I hardly remember either of those books and I'm not like deeply attached to Frankenstein as a character. It doesn't really bother me. But I could imagine someone being a little upset, reasonably, that they take Frankenstein from those books, who's like a cool, dark hero, and just make him a Nazi incel. I can see people being a little annoyed by that. Was there not some way to build up the bride's character and make her a feminist allegory without just making a cool character so reprehensible? Does that make sense? G.I. Robot is another war comic backup character.
Weird War Tales number 101.
I honestly don't know if he was ever in Creature Commandos, because I think he was a solo thing. Creature Commandos were mostly just soldiers based on the Universal Monsters. And so I think it's Gunn's idea, although maybe a comic writer thought of this before him, but I think it's Gunn's idea to put G.I. Robot in that crew.
Bob, I got a comic for us to read, Batman Confidential number 4, in which Lex Luthor creates a new G.I. robot for use by the United States military.
Do you remember who wrote that?
That would be Andy Diggle and Wilce Portacio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good pronunciation on, I think Portacio is Filipino. Good pronunciation on that.
You're welcome, Filipino. Bob. I just got back from the cruise.
Wrong part of the world, but still.
Because that wasn't America.
Matt's traveled. Matt's cosmopolitan, yeah. unlike old provincial Bob. That's interesting. I think I did read that first arc of Batman Confidential years and years and years ago, but I don't remember a thing about it. And I definitely don't remember G.I. Robot. Thanks for enlightening me. Matt, I did want to ask you, who was your character of the episode for the first episode, Collie Wobbies?
I thought about this, Bob, and I don't really care for too many of them. I'll just give it to the G.I. Robot because I thought he was kind of funny from there.
Okay. Yeah, G.I. Robot, I don't think any of the main cast work well, but G.I. Robot, I think, does come the close to working. I mean, who can't identify with a desire to exterminate Nazis? Good for G.I. Robot. I'll give it to Amanda Waller for correctly understanding how the U.S. Empire works and explaining that to Rick Flagg Sr. That was good. That was good. Matt, I've been pretty negative on these two episodes. I didn't like having an origin episode. But one thing I will say to defend that second episode, you got to give it to Gunn that in literally the second, or I guess maybe the third, depending on how you count it, installment of the universe already has more of a sense of history than the MCU does after 20 years. You get that montage of Frankenstein pursuing the bride in all these different places and periods throughout history. More historical literacy and more historical variation in that one montage than in the entire. And I actually do think that's interesting. It points to, unlike the MCU, which is just always moving forward, 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 the DCU could kind of explore its past potentially.
Yeah. Okay. So with the MCU, Bob, we go all the way back to Captain America, right? There's not much more before that.
Eternals does some stuff throughout history, but they're never going back to the Eternals again, so that doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's some other stuff I'm not thinking of. Maybe the witch stuff in Agatha has some historical weight to it. But yeah, for the most part in the MCU, it's just, yeah, there's the one flashback movie to World War II, and then everything else is the nebulous present.
That's because he was the first Avenger.
He was the first Avenger, Matt. Did you have a character of the episode for the episode 2, which I guess is Tourmaline Necklace?
It's the bride. I mean, that's pretty much what the episode focuses on. I didn't think anybody else was too outstanding here. Actually, some of the characters I just found annoying. Rick Flagg's sex parade in the bathroom was just stupid.
I'm going to give it to Cersei, but only because she stops the sex flashback between Victor Frankenstein and the bride, which also has crazy and uncomfortable incest overtones to it. oh God, I wish they hadn't done that. But Cersei is in no sense a character in these two. I don't know if she will be a character before this series is over or not, although I assume we will get a Cersei flashback episode in which we will see Cersei have sex. Not looking forward to that. But at least she stopped the Victor Bride monster incest sex. So God bless her for that.
We do appreciate that. Thank you for stopping that.
All right. Any other thoughts on Creature Commandos, Matt?
I've seen the Bride Frankenstein's nipples. I think I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, James Gunn. Thank you. Listeners, we'll probably cover more. We'll probably will not cover it this long. I think there were some conceptual issues we had to work out. Basically, listeners, you're a therapist, and Matt and I had to come to you for couples counseling for our decision to watch this show. So thank you for that uncompensated therapeutic labor. We appreciate you, listeners. We're wrapping up our coverage of Star Trek Lower Decks. Please check that out. We're going to restart our coverage on Young Justice probably as soon as Creature Commandos is over. That's over on Patreon. We're going to wrap up Young Justice. Please join us for that. And thanks for listening to Uncanny Treks, listeners.
Thanks for listening, guys.